Hello and welcome to the MB Om Podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MB Om Podcast. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Fave Yogis. You guys have been hearing about Fave Yogis for so many weeks now, and I really hope you've had a chance to head on over to the App Store on your mobile device and download it for free. If you haven't, Fave Yogis has updated their app and they've got a lot of great additions and new features available on the app. So if you don't know what Fave Yogis is, and this is the first time you're tuning in, it's an app that was developed with yogis and yoga teachers in mind. Basically, you can sign in as a yoga teacher and put on your regular schedule or your one-time offerings like workshops and teacher trainings and retreats. And then in return, people can look up what you're doing. So with MindBody Online, it allows you to put your retreats and offerings, but it's really by studio. This means that you can look in your area and find all of the different teachers who are hosting what you're looking for. On top of that, now you can register and pay for classes right from the app. You can also send donations or tips to teachers anytime. This is a great way as a teacher to make a little bit more money on top of what you're already making. You can also get notifications for all activity around registrations and payments. As well, teachers set prices and ticket availability limits for registration, so it really allows you as a yoga teacher to have the control over your offering. Finally, you can receive reminders about attending upcoming classes, which means you're never going to miss a class that you signed up for via Fave Yogis. So head on over to your app store, search Fave Yogis, F-A-V-Y-O-G-I-S, in the app store, download for free, and let them know that I sent you using code MBOM. And before we dive into today's episode, just a quick reminder that Kelly Smith from last week's episode and I still have an amazing discount happening on our upcoming retreat called Elevate Your Yoga Biz. You can get it for 15% off through till the end of today, Monday, January 15th, using code ADZENTURE. So ADZENTURE. And you can find that over at bit.ly/elevateyouryoga. And if you're not sure what this retreat is all about, it's at the end of April. It's 6 nights, 7 days. It's in Nicaragua and it's designed for you, yoga teachers. We've come together and combined our strengths to create master classes that will help you build your yoga business, grow your business, and really elevate it so that you can come home immediately making more money. And one of the things that I'm really big on is investing in yourself as a way to immediately start making more money in your business. And we'll talk about that in another episode or in another blog post. But for now, make sure you head on over to bit.ly/elevateyouryoga and use code ADZENTURE for 15% off. And of course, if you have any questions about the retreat, don't hesitate to reach out to me at info@mbomyoga.com. All right, on to today's episode. I am so excited to be joined by Crystal Gray. Crystal is the founder of Yoga Goddess Academy. And we talk about so much on this episode, including Crystal's yoga story, owning a yoga studio and what she's learned through that, how to take your yoga business online, and top tips for yoga teachers in their business in general that comes from Crystal's one-on-one experience as a yoga business coach. So without further ado, here's Crystal. I'm very excited to be joined on the podcast today by Crystal Gray. Crystal, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And where are you joining me from today?
I am located about an hour and a half south of Chicago, Illinois.
So you're getting into the, I guess, like the depths of winter now, I guess you could say.
Well, all the leaves are starting to fall off the trees, and it's really, it's not bad. It was like 50 degrees yesterday. So, but yeah, I'm sure it's coming. We have plenty of time for that to happen.
Okay. Yeah. It's, completely snowed over, you know, where I'm from in Alberta. So everyone back home is posting ski photos and snow photos. So I guess your time is coming soon.
But you'll probably miss the snow, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Mexico for the entire winter, so yeah, that's intentional. So I was wondering if you could start by telling me a little bit about how you first got into yoga and what inspired you to become a teacher.
Oh, Well, I feel like from a very young age, I was always searching for my spiritual path. I remember being in church when I was really young, maybe like 8, and just thinking, you know, like this is all, it's great and everything, but I just really feel like there's something more to it that we're not being told. And whenever I started doing yoga, I realized to me, it clicked to me that yoga was a way for me to get in touch with God myself. Kind of like how I look at it now is the asana practice really helps to kind of clear out your body and clear out the cobwebs so that you can have a clearer connection to God or source or your intuition, however you want to look at it. So that you don't always need somebody on the outside kind of like telling you what to think. I think it's great to have teachers and guides. But I also think it's really important for you to take that information, kind of see how it clicks for you. And then if it's your calling, then you can help teach that to others. And, I decided that it was my calling, you know, after my first yoga class, I was like, yep, this is what I want to do. And not long after that, I got signed up for a teacher training. So it was pretty quick because I was pretty lost for a long time and didn't know what I wanted to do until I found yoga.
Yeah, that's really amazing to hear. What do you think about the practice that really connected you? Like, was it the fact that you could turn inwards and kind of connect to this source, or was there something else that also drew you in?
Well, you know, to be honest, at first, just being able to be graceful, I think, as an adult, I mean, I was probably around 20 whenever I started yoga, and maybe a little bit later, but it was just nice to be able to feel graceful because, you know, usually as adults, we don't go take like a ballet class or things like that. And it was really important to me. And I had taken gymnastics when I was younger. And so I was just naturally kind of good at the physical practice. And so that's really what drew me in the beginning. And just feeling good after class. I couldn't really pinpoint it, but I knew that it was doing some work under the surface.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that as well because I grew up dancing, and then I stopped dancing when I graduated high school and went to university because I wasn't good enough to be professional. And then within a year of that, I started doing yoga, and I felt like it was this thing where I was able to like move again. And it's like, I don't know, you feel like good in your body. And as a woman, I feel like it can help you feel like sexy and yeah, it's a great practice for that.
Definitely.
And then on top of that, there's all the mindful stuff. So it's an added bonus.
Of course. Of course.
And so can you tell me a little bit about your career as a yoga teacher? Like, you started teaching pretty quick after you started practicing. What did that look like for you as you progressed?
Well, I started, I started teaching in around 2005, 2006. And what it looked like then was just teaching pretty much in fitness centers. I was teaching at a fitness center, maybe one or two classes a day here and there. I was living up near Chicago. And so, I'd be fighting traffic, driving 45 minutes to get paid, you know, $30, and then driving back. And so that's pretty much what my day looked like, teaching one or two classes a day. And then in between that, I also taught gymnastics to little kids at that time. So that's how I first started. And then progressing from there, my husband and I, he was a senior software engineer for Motorola, and he had a really good job up near Chicago. So we were living there, and then he decided that wasn't fulfilling him. And so we started looking into organic vegetable farming, which is what we do now. So we live on a farm and we have 20 acres of, that we farm organically. And we're expanding this next year, and we're hoping that what I really want from my teaching and how I've started changing how my business looks is because I really wanted to step into contributing more, to my family as well as having a bigger voice. And I skipped in there that I, you know, in between and the beginning and now I had a yoga studio as well. And that helped to give me a lot of confidence in my teaching and my abilities. And even though I sold my studio, I definitely don't regret it because I learned so much from that experience. And it's really helped to shape where I am today with everything.
Yeah, that's such an amazing story. And so you guys decided to move and have this organic vegetable farm. At what point did you decide to open your yoga studio?
It was right after, it was a couple years after I had my daughter, because I helped on the farm before she was born. And then after she was born, I was just like, you know, I like living on the farm, but it's not satisfying me, just to be doing the physical labor, every day. And it also wasn't satisfying me just to do the behind the scenes of the farm either. And so, it was about 2 years after I had her. So I opened my studio in 2013. She's seven now. I sold it last year. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I'm curious, like, I think that, you know, there's a lot of us, like, I remember when I was going through my teacher training, like, a lot of people were like, I think I want to own a yoga studio. And I feel like it's this really common path that a lot of yoga teachers go towards.
Yeah.
I think that that's, you know, great if that's what you want to do. I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about, like, what you learned through that experience.
Yeah, well, you know, in my business coaching that I do now, I definitely have yoga teachers that go through my programs consider other options besides having brick and mortar studios. I don't ever discourage anybody, but I also kind of tell them the pros and the cons, that I've learned. And the pros were definitely, you know, I mean, you have to put together so much stuff in order to actually make it happen. And so I really had to get a lot of ducks in a row, which was really good for me. I had to learn how to get along with a whole bunch of yoga teachers and manage people. That was one of the reasons why I sold it, honestly. Not that I didn't learn it, but just that it did take a lot of effort to try to, oh, somebody canceled their class. Now guess who has to go teach it? It's me. Because if people have memberships, you can't just say, oh, sorry, we don't have class today. So, you know, you're the one that's always in charge of that and have to step in as needed. And living half an hour away from my studio just, and having a daughter, you know, that just really didn't work. So I really just learned so much, but also in that I think the most that I gained was confidence, because after I sold the studio, you know, while I was owning it, there was a lot of self-doubt, and I would let people kind of get to me when they would say things. And then after I sold it, I'm like, you know what? I actually didn't do that bad of a job. Why did I let other people's opinions get to me? Because I was not doing a bad job. And, I think now whenever I run into those situations, if there's naysayers or anything like that, I take a moment and I step back and I think, do I truly believe that? Do I believe what they're saying is true? And, most of the time it's no. And, you know, then I can just move forward with, again, more confidence, because I know what I'm doing is what my intuition is telling me to do.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that's such an amazing, like, growth to have had personally.
Yeah, definitely.
I
wanted to go with that, your idea of saying that it's a path that a lot of yoga teachers take, because how it was for me, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but how it was for me was that it just seems like that's a next logical step, because you don't know any other steps. Like, what else are you going to do if you're not going to be traveling the world teaching sold out yoga conferences and things like that? What else can you do? You know, and so those are the kinds of things that I really want to help show people that they can do. They do have other options. Yes, that's an option, but it's not the only one.
Yes, I could not agree with that more. That was, you know, one of the many reasons that I started MBOM as well, is I just remember feeling like so confused by all these people who I was like, do you want to be a business owner? Like, do you want to, you know, manage people and be responsible for this entity, like, thriving? And they're like, I just kind of want to teach yoga. And I'm like, it's like two very different things. And my mind is very, like, business oriented, because I came from that background before I came to the yoga world. But I know that not everybody's is. And I think that it is like, you want to teach full time, you want to be successful. And it's like, okay, I'll open a yoga studio. And one of the things I've learned from all of the different people I've had on the podcast is how many different routes you can take to be successful in the industry.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like unless you really know how to run a brick and mortar business, you can tend to get bogged down by all of the day to day things. So, I mean, if that's if that's really where your passion is and it is running a brick and mortar business with an emphasis on yoga, awesome. But if it's because you want to teach more and, you want to have a bigger voice, probably not going to be the way to do it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And so I know you do like yoga business coaching now with yoga teachers. What are some of the other things that you kind of, you know, encourage people to go towards other than maybe opening a yoga studio?
Sure. Well, I encourage people to build online businesses because I, as you know, live out in the middle of nowhere and I really want to be able to expand my reach and connect with people all over the world that have this the type of struggles that I want to help people overcome. And so it's just a really amazing way to be able to do that. And I was just talking to somebody this morning who was saying that, you know, with the rise of the internet, people are feeling like they have less and less connections. But for me, it's actually the opposite. You know, I'm not one of those people that goes on Facebook and kind of scrolls through and gets depressed because other people are doing amazing things. Instead, I think, that's awesome. Now, how can I do that? You know, and then I just kind of put it on my mental vision board and then I figure out ways that I can do that. But I'm really don't get like mad because other people are doing it. It doesn't make me feel bad. I'm not saying it's wrong if that happens to you, but, I think that there is just a mindset shift that needs to happen so that you can get over that because there's amazing communities being grown online. As you know, in your Facebook group and my Facebook group, just amazing connections can happen and you can really, you don't have to try to appeal to everybody. If you are in a small town or trying to have a brick and mortar, you kind of have to try to appeal to a larger audience. But being online, you can appeal to those exact people that you are just so excited to wake up and work with day in and day out.
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like you touched on a lot of great things there. The first thing that I think you touched on is like social media, I think does create a lot of like emotional responses in people. And the way that I always think about it is like the only times that I ever have negative emotions to somebody's success is when I'm feeling, you know, like I have low confidence or maybe, you know, something's happening in my life that I'm not super happy about. And it's never about them. Like, you know, deep down I'm happy for them, of course, but it's like a reflection of how I'm feeling personally. And I think that it's so important to look at your life and be like, you know, and somebody posts about their success and I feel unhappy about it. Is it because I'm a terrible person or is it because there's something going on with me and I'm actually not fulfilled in my career?
Exactly. And that's how you can even use your Facebook scrolling or whatever as your yoga practice off your mat, you know? Okay, now how does that make me feel? Why is it making me feel that way? Is it really because of them? What do I need to look at, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I always think about that. I've used this a couple different times, but you know, like being in the grocery store when it's super, super busy, I have no idea. Like I work from home. I have no idea why I shop at peak hours, but it seems like all of our brains are triggered towards like, let's go buy food at the same time. And it's like those moments where the cashier is super slow and there's a baby crying and I'm like, this is so frustrating. Why am I here right now? And then I'm like, it just, you know, take a breath. Like it's just part of life. Yeah, I think the other thing that you touched on, I love the idea of online community. I mean, all of my work is done remotely and it's been like that for a couple of years. And I just think about, you know, my podcast as an example. Like if I wasn't able to connect with people online, I think there's maybe 10 people I've interviewed who I actually know in person from my own community. But it's like, you know, my podcast wouldn't still be going because I would have ran out of people at some point. It's like so many people I've been able to connect through, you know, Facebook groups and online communities and email and that sort of thing. Like it's amazing that I'm able to be in Mexico City talking to you outside of Chicago.
Exactly. It is amazing.
And so can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what inspired your transition to have an online business versus having your brick and mortar studio and what that looked like?
Yeah, and this is goes with the conversation I was having. I've had a couple people ask me in the last couple days, how did you know what your next steps were, like what you wanted to do? And I said, well, you know, what I started doing was really tapping into my intuition and listening to those emotional, your emotions are telling you something. They're telling you if you're on the right track or if you're off the right track. If you're feeling fear or sadness or helplessness, you're not in alignment, right? So I always tried to get myself in alignment. And that's what I built my, you know, my online community around is let's help women get connected every day to their intuition, to source, so that they can know which way their path should be going. And what I do is, you know, listen to my emotions. It's a litmus test for if I'm going in the right way or not. If something makes me feel icky, I'm not going to go that way. You know, if something my guiding factor is always inspiration. That's my favorite way to feel. I love feeling inspired. You know, talking to people like you, doing things like this, it makes me so inspired. And more doors will be open for you, offering you these same type of opportunities if you can get in alignment and keep leaning in towards those feelings that you want to feel. And it's not that you can't ever feel or look at the dark stuff. That's not the case. But we don't want to dwell there, and we don't want to be in alignment with those feelings. We can recognize them, but then get in alignment with where we really want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any, like, other than, I guess, like a yoga and a meditation practice, do you have any like tips or tricks if you're kind of in maybe, you know, a darker mental space, or maybe you're at a point where you're not really sure what your next move is, to kind of get in touch with that?
Sure. What I do when I feel like it's just like it's being so hard for me to get into alignment is I love Abraham Hicks. I don't know if you know them. And they are all about the law of attraction. And so what I'll do is I'll go on YouTube and, you know, in the morning where maybe I'll do, like a body scrubbing, like a dry brushing, and then I'll put on oil or something like that. Like while I'm doing that practice, just to kind of show myself self-love, which is super important to show yourself that you love yourself, and that you're worth it you're worth that time. And then I'll listen to those and I'll just kind of put in whatever I'm worried about. If it's something about money, I'll put in Abraham Hicks money, or, you know, relationships, or whatever I'm worried about, I'll put that in there. Fear of death, you know, sometimes that comes up for me sometimes. And so, I just listen to those and it instantly makes my day just go so much better and helps me get into alignment quicker than probably anything else, I would say.
Yeah. I love that. I love the idea of listening to something that's going to motivate you and kind of change the way your thought patterns are happening, but also pairing that with something that's like really nourishing and loving towards yourself.
Yeah. And then it's like, you're not like wasting your time. You know what I mean? Like I like to say feeding two birds with one stone. So, you know, you're doing those two things at once.
I like that better than killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly. I hate saying that. So
yeah, it's a lot more loving than aggressive, I guess you could say.
Who wants to put that out there?
Yeah, I'd actually never thought about that before, but yeah, as you said that, I was like, oh, feeding is so much more kind than killing. Okay, so you got this idea to create this online business, and I think that a lot of people listening can probably be like, yes, I've had ideas, like I want to transition online, I want to, you know, expand my reach, maybe have a different revenue stream. What were the actual steps that you took in order to set up a successful online business?
Well, I learned not to wait around until things were perfect, you know, because that is one of the biggest hurdles that people, that will just keep you back from doing anything. You need to keep pushing through that fear, because it's like a muscle, you know, it gets stronger. You're always going to feel fear, but you just need to practice pushing through it. And if you wait until things are perfect, it's never going to happen. You know, if you wait till, well, I'm just going to get one more certification, I just need to get one more online course, I just need to get one more thing, then I'll be ready. No, you need to start being ready and confident with yourself now. That goes like with how I teach with my, you know, my life coaching, my biz coaching stuff, is that you need to try to get into the feeling of how you want to feel now, and everything else will kind of fall into place. So the first steps, I started teaching online. I did a 5-day beginner course on the live streaming at Periscope. And that's how I made my first money. I was like, $50, you know, for 5 days, let's do like a half an hour of yoga every morning. And we'll kind of touch on a different kind of facet that I think is super important about alignment. And so I just kind of broke it down that way. And I had like 5 people join, and hey, I was happy with $250 for like my first time. You know, even if 2 people join, they say if you can get 1 or 2 people to join, there's other people that will. You just have to learn how to reach them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
So yeah, I started, and now it's totally different. But, and that goes along with what people have been asking me recently. How did I know? I didn't know. I know what I want my end result to be. I know I want to feel inspired, and I want to surround myself with inspiring people. and I want to be able to travel, and I want to have enough money so I don't have to worry about anything, you know, things like that. And so that I can have enough money so I can help other people as well. So anything that makes me feel like I'm going in that direction, that's great. And no, not everything turns out perfect, but I learned so much from it. So you just keep learning and you keep doing, and it'll keep kind of shifting. And that you said that, you know, I have a lot of ideas. People have a lot of ideas and stuff. And that is one of the hard parts is, yes, I have a lot of ideas too. And that's where people like you and me come in, so that we can coach people and hold them accountable. Because yeah, there are tons of ideas, but you need to try to fit, you know, focus on one or two really great ones and keep moving in that direction for a while. You know, for at least a few months, and it might change a little bit, but you really need to stick with it. You know, I mean, I started my online community, before I sold my yoga studio, you know, so it's shifted and changed a lot, and it doesn't look like how it did in the beginning, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think that you hit on something that's really key for people to know there, where it's like, you know, I think sometimes people think in order to be successful with something, you have to have this perfect vision of it. And I think in some cases that can be really, really beneficial. Like if you have the vision of your yoga studio, then you can just, you know, move forward with that and really manifest it and make it happen. But not having a vision, but having, you know, some things that you know you want, like you identified, you know, being financially stable and being inspiring and being inspired and, you know, a couple of these different things, and knowing that you want to do it online and just moving forward in that direction. Cause I think sometimes people get really stuck on like, well, I don't have an exact vision for it and I don't know what I want, so I just won't do anything. And
exactly.
I think that it's okay not to know exactly what you want. Like sometimes I come back to that. I'm like, where am I going with this again? And then I just come, you know, I'm the same way as you. I was really inspired by an episode of Being Boss where one of the girls said, you know what? My goal of, or like my idea of being financially successful is being able to buy Whole Foods guacamole and not feel bad about it.
Oh, I think I like, heard that. Yeah.
I was like, yes, like that.
Totally.
Yeah. Like I totally relate to that. I was like, yeah, that's like my new financial goal. Instead of setting like, I want to make 50,000 or 100,000 or $2 million a year. Like I just want to be able to afford Whole Foods guacamole unashamedly, not feel guilty.
Yeah, that brings up 2 points for me too. Yeah, I heard somebody say that they wanted to be able to buy the pre-cut, like the pre-chopped mango at Whole Foods, and I was like, oh my god, totally. That's what I want to be. Like that's my goal, you know.
Yeah.
And then also, I don't know what you were saying, but about knowing like which way to go and having a vision. I feel like we so many of us are stuck in that masculine energy of, you know, well, we have to, this is our end goal. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to hit this goal by this day and this and this and this and have it all mapped out. But if you can, I'm teaching women how to step into the feminine energy and how to be more, able to receive and to allow. So I think if we try to just get into the feeling of how we want to feel, again, those doors are going to be opened up for us, and it's going to be a surprise from the universe. And it's going to be like, oh, wow, thank you. I didn't even know that this is what I wanted to do. Did I think 5 years ago I was going to have this huge online community full of women and I was going to help them find their inner divine feminine? No, that's not what I thought that my life was going to be. But, you know, through my own practice and everything, those kinds of things have been opened up to me, and source or God intuition has showed me that for me to grow spiritually, those are the kind of avenues that I need to start exploring to push myself, you know, and just kind of awaken these different things within me through these different paths, like studying crystals and this feminine energy and, you know, past lives, just all these different avenues to get more in touch with that feminine energy so that we can trust and allow and have faith that all these doors and all these opportunities will be brought to us if we just relax and allow it to come.
Yeah, I love that. I'm curious what inspired you to focus in on like women specifically.
Again, that's another thing. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. You know, I'm listening to my intuition and I'm following it. And it's been really an amazing process, to have, because I've always known I was like connected to it and I could see, you know, I could see a big picture. But just lately whenever I have the choice, am I going to lean into my intuition? Am I going to follow? Am I going to trust? Or am I going to go against it? Just the more I do that, the more things are opened up to me. And again, it might be something I have no idea why I started. I don't know. I don't know the answers to that, except for I listen to what I'm being shown, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think too, it's like, I think that within all of our days, we have these moments where like we have to make decisions between things. Like we have them constantly. Like, do you shower? Do you not shower? Do you snooze? Do you not snooze? You know, do you eat eggs for breakfast? Do you have a smoothie? Like you have to make all these choices. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have kind of these like gut reactions to them. Like, you know, the same way we're like, okay, like I know I don't walk in the street when there's cars coming because that's dangerous. We just have to kind of tap into this like, okay, my body's telling me that I want like a smoothie this morning, or, you know, my mind's telling me like, oh, let's pursue this client or let's pursue this avenue and see where this is going. So it's cool that you've been able to really follow that and be successful with it.
Yeah. And I think what really helped me with that was to start a daily meditation practice and start to really just cut myself some slack. You know, it's like we feel like, well, if I can't do it an hour and a half yoga practice, then I'm not even going to do it at all. Or, you know, we go to 1 hour and a half yoga practice a week, where I really try to emphasize, you know what? I mean, that's great, but let's try to 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. Let's try to get connected to source, because it's really a cumulative effect. And the more we can get into that place, even if you feel like, oh, I can't quiet my mind and I don't think I'm doing it right and whatever, just the fact that you're sitting down and you're taking that time, and even if it looks like, you know, dry brushing and, you know, giving yourself a massage or whatever, it doesn't matter what it looks like. If you're just allowing your mind to slow down, you'll get, just have faith that it will come and you will get tapped into it, even if it doesn't feel like it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that. And I love that you're bringing up, you know, slowing down and just kind of like, you know, tapping into like what's going on with you. Cause I feel like for me, I was a college student and then I went straight into a corporate job and my social life was really busy and my work was really busy and I was go, go, go constantly. And I think that if you were to talk to me in like, from like 2012, like that person would be like, dry brushing and like massaging yourself with oil, like why,
right,
like why on earth would you do that? Like, and I'm all about that now. Like, I'm like all about good dry brush, like a good cup of tea, just sitting and reading a good book or something like that. A good bath. Oh my gosh, I love a good bath.
For sure. And you know, like what I really like about that, like what I hear from my community is that I'm approachable and I'm down to earth. So even though I bring some of these weirder topics to people, it's in a way that is not condescending or super hippy dippy or out there. It's just kind of like, hey, this is what I think. This is how it's worked for me. You can believe it or not, take it or not, you know, try it out. Let me see what you think. So yeah, that's kind of my approach to that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious too, because I think that, you know, you've done a really great job at creating a business and an online community. And I think that sometimes people think that, you know, it's really challenging to combine this like spiritual aspect of life with this business aspect. You know, how do you stick to like what's true to you spiritually and then also mix that into your business and make sure that you're making a living off of that?
Well, I get faith comes in a lot, but you know, in the beginning, whenever I was doing the stuff online, I started out as I was called like the boho yoga goddess. I don't really know why. I just like bohemian stuff. It's kind of free spirit. I like to have feathers in my hair, that kind of stuff. I like yoga. I love the word goddess. And then I was like, and then I questioned myself too much and I'm like, I don't know. This might be a little bit too weird. I, you know, I'm a health coach too. So I was like, well, what's something that everybody likes? Oh, I know. They like yoga. They like diet and they like detox. I'm going to call it now yoga diet detox. And then I did that and I had a little bit of success with it, but I was like, it was not fulfilling me. And it was like grunt work to get me to do any videos or to make anything for it, because it was not inspiring to me. And I didn't get a whole bunch of ideas for it because again, it wasn't inspiring to me. And I knew that I had to go back to the goddess stuff. Something was calling me back to that. I have no idea what it was. You know, again, it was just my intuition, but I just went back with it. And I'm like, this time I'm just going to have faith in it. I'm going to kind of put this stuff out there and just keep rolling with it. And that's really what's helped me to find and build the community that I have.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that when you just like stick to what's true to you, that's when people really like respond.
Totally. Respond for sure. But you kind of have to learn that, you know, and sometimes it takes a little bit of trial and error, and it is scary to put it out there, you know, like, hey, I'm studying this kind of stuff. I believe in this kind of stuff. And it totally. Can be scary. I mean, I've been doing that kind of stuff for a long time. I've always been a little bit different and believed in different things, especially growing up in a small town. So I've had some practice. But once you have that community and you've got other people supporting you and being like, hey, like, it's okay. Yeah, this stuff's a little bit different, but you know what? It helps. And once they see the results of that, they're like, I don't care if people think it's weird because I'm so much happier now than I was before.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you found that you've got like pretty good support from your family and friends and that sort of thing as you've moved in this direction?
You know, and again, this is somebody I was talking with yesterday about support. She doesn't feel like she has it because a lot of times as women, we're kind of trained to compete with each other and look at each other and be like, oh, I can't believe that she's doing that. And, you know, there's just so much energy like that. And I was like, you know, I want to create this community, but I don't want to have that kind of crap in it. You know, I want people that are not going to compare. And I'm like, how can I do that? Well, I can do that by letting them know that, you know, there's real shit in people's lives. Like my life does not always look perfect. I deal with a whole bunch of crap. And once you can kind of be authentic and be like, you know, and that word authentic is thrown around a lot. And I don't think a lot of times people that use that word truly are being authentic, but I let them see those sides of me that aren't super pretty. You know, I'll do live streams in my group, but I'll start crying. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing, but I'll leave it up because it resonates with people and they want to see that you're a human being.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's like one of the things that, Rachel Braithen, Yoga Girl, has done really well, especially on her podcast. Like, you know, she's had episodes where she just sits and cries and then she's like, I don't know, maybe I should like throw this episode out. And I think that that's a really natural reaction to have because I think we're trained right from little kids, like, oh, stop crying. Don't cry in public. You're fine. Like all these things are kind of told to us right from the time that we're little. So of course it's like you feel instantly like ashamed that you're crying. And then it's like, oh, well, we all cry. Every single human cries. We all feel things that make us feel upset. And it's like being able to share mm-hmm. that with somebody else, I think, is this reminder of like, oh, right, we're like all in this together. We all have these experiences.
Exactly. So that just really builds up the community and it creates a safe space where they feel like they can, where they can be raw and real also. And it just kind of creates that culture. And I mean, you know, in my group, it's just, I've really attracted the right kind of founding members. And they're just doing a great job of kind of stepping into a leadership role where they support others. So that it's not me always having to go in there and reply to every single comment. I mean, I do that sometimes, but I'm not like tied to it because I've got a community of people that just support each other. And I, through, you know, again, leaning into my intuition, I found my support group. I've found all these amazing women that understand me because especially when you're trying to do an online business, nobody freaking understands what you're trying to do. They just don't get it. And so, you know, by, just continuing to network and collaborate with people and, follow my gut, I found an amazing support group within that. So I know I can call a few people and have somebody to talk to that'll understand, kind of what I'm going through. And also on my spiritual journey, you know, if I start talking to my spirit guides, oh, who can I call? Oh, I know who I can call. I can call Adrienne. She'll totally get that. Or, you know, if somebody is talking crap about me online, oh, I know I can go talk to her about that. You know, there's just all these different people I can go talk to. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. I think like, you know, when I decided to quit my job and do an online business, like, you know, my dad joked for probably, I want to say it was like at least a year, but maybe even a little longer than that. Like, oh, you're just like retired at like 26 or however old I was, I guess at 26, 27. And I kind of was like, haha, yeah, like, you know, I'm just going to let you do that. And then it kind of started to bother me. And I was like, no, like, this isn't okay. Like, you can't just make these jabs at me about what I'm doing because it's different than the world that you grew up in. And I found that having a really like honest, you know, heart to heart it always works. It works every time.
Yeah.
Was really helpful. But then also just, you know, finding other people who were doing what I was doing.
Yes.
Because I found that my friends who were my friends in my corporate life and in my Lululemon life were, didn't necessarily get it anymore. And, you know, my boyfriend right. and I were both able to find really good friends who are also podcast hosts and who also are building a business online. And it's like all of a sudden they speak our language and it's like, okay, now we've got these people that we can turn to, you know, about this
exactly.
stuff.
And so many of us right now, especially women, are having these really big callings to do something huge. And we're scared to say that. We're scared to say like, oh, I've got these really big dreams, but why are we scared? We feel like we don't deserve it or we can't do it. And I think like as far as family goes, I think that really it just scares them because they don't know how it could work, you know? And that's okay. It's okay for them to like feel that way, but you do just have to have that community where you could be like, oh my gosh, like I just need some support from you. I need to know that this can work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, like we live in a really, really beautiful time where, we have the ability to, not just play the role of like the mom. Like I think that it's really amazing to have children and to be a mom as well, but to know that you can also mm-hmm. have an identity on the side of that. Like when I look at like, you know, my grandmother and my mother, it's, you know, I really see what they've done to be great parents. And when I look at, you know, I don't have children yet, but when I look at my future, I really see the fact that I can continue to be who I am and have my identity while being a parent. And that's like a really amazing
totally.
Position that we're in as women right now.
For sure. And I did feel bad at the beginning saying that, like, you know, if you want to have, you know, have more than just being a mom, because I think it's fine if that's what people, if that's what women want to focus on is being a mom. I think that's amazing because, you know, especially like your mom and your grandma, if they didn't have, if they didn't behave exactly how they did, you wouldn't be who you are now. So, you know, before you came down into this life, you needed to have these certain situations, that's just what I believe, in place mm-hmm. so that you could really step into this new kind of strong feminine role that you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I agree with that for sure. If there's somebody out there, probably, you know, women listeners specifically who are like, okay, all this sounds really great. And, you know, I love the idea of tapping into like my divine feminine. But I don't really know what that is or how to do that. Do you have some tips for how to kind of go about that as a woman and specifically, you know, a female yoga teacher and a female entrepreneur?
Yeah, there's a few things. One, I would say one of my biggest things that I live by is to be non-dogmatic. So I really try to never say, well, this is wrong and this is right, you know, and I try to take from all different things and not let anything be the end all be all. Though I think yoga is amazing, I think for me, it's really been a stepping stone to a lot more deeper work that I found that I think you can find through yoga. But for me, I found it through through other avenues. So I think it's just really trusting the things that are put into your path and that there's a reason. Like if you're listening to this podcast, there's a reason why you're listening to it, and it might start to ignite something within you, even if it might sound a little bit weird or, you know, a little bit out there. I think that there's always a reason. And just to make that commitment to self-care every day, even if it's 5 minutes, 5 minutes of meditation, 5 minutes of dry brushing or, you know, oil massage or just something where your mind can be quiet, not like playing a game on your phone. You know, that's too stimulating. It's got to be something where inspiration can come in. Maybe it's automatic writing, journaling, something like that. And just so that you make space for that intuition to come and to relax a little bit. If you can't do an asana practice every day, that's okay. Like for me, if I do my daily time of getting in touch with my intuition, that's the main thing I'm concerned about. And the asana is like a cherry on top, you know? And I remember 10 years ago, I had some teachers saying, oh, well, you know, the physical practice is not so much important to me anymore. I'm just like, oh my God, how can anybody be like that? Like, I will never be like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always going to really try to be doing these crazy back bends and all this stuff. And it's just, you know, maybe it's a sign of maturity or not a sign, but just as I mature, I'm 36 now. It's just your practice is going to look a lot different, 10 years from now, you know, and you have to be okay with that. And just like your business. You don't know exactly where your business is going, and you have to be okay with that. You have to have faith with how everything's unfolding for you.
Yeah, definitely. I really love that. And so you have an online community. It's called Yoga Goddess Collective, correct?
Yes, that is a free group on Facebook. Yep.
And so it's pretty big. Like, you have almost 2,000 members. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Almost 2,000. Maybe by the time this airs, we'll have 2,000. I don't know.
Yeah. That's amazing. First of all, as somebody who recently started an online group, it's really cool to see people come. And I think that I'm almost at 200. So I've got a long way to go before I'm at 2,000. But it's really interesting when it's somebody that you don't know and they come in and you're like, how did you find me and what attracts you to this and that sort of thing. So,
totally.
Yeah. Congrats on that.
Well, thank you. And I mean, the main thing about those groups too, that people can use as business owners is, as market research, you know, ask questions in there. What do people want from you?
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's a really, really great thing. And I mean, I think it's like email lists are a thing that's really talked about, you know, in all types of business, but specifically yoga business, as a way to get to know your customers and your clients. But I find like the Facebook group is a really great way to actually get to know like who these people are, what do they want, what are they looking for, what are they struggling with? Because it's like a safe space for them to talk, whereas like responding to an email, I think it takes a certain person to actually reach out and be like, I'm struggling with this and like hit reply.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe 1% of people reply to my emails whenever I ask a question. I think some people have a lot higher success rates, but in the Facebook group, people are on Facebook a lot more than they're in their email inbox, you know?
Totally. Yeah. That's very, very true. I'm curious if you have some tips for, you know, creating a really safe space online and, you know, how you manage having a group that's, you know, nearly 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and one thing that I've noticed is I've got more than one Facebook group. You know, I've got like a business one and I've got a couple other things. And I notice whenever I put any more attention on one, that one will grow. Whenever I put more attention on this one will grow. And that's just kind of something that's weeding itself out. And I'm like, okay, obviously my group with 2,000 people, I should probably just keep focusing on that rather than, you know, my other little groups. And so I've got a Facebook business group, but what I'm going to start doing in the collective is actually starting to give some business tips in there, because one of the main things I really want women to do is to, one, find their purpose, and then to start living their purpose. And then if they want to build a business around that, whether it's a yoga business or it's an MLM or whatever it is, whatever they're passionate about, I want to create that space so that they can step into that. So I teach yoga in there, but I also give business tips as well. And just creating a safe space. I mean, it's being authentic. It's going in there and not being afraid of doing a live streaming and looking like an idiot, because people that aren't going to connect with it, then they can just keep going. It's okay. They don't need to be in the group, because even if you've got a group that's 200 people, if those people are really resonating with you, I mean, then that's really all that matters. You know, what's the point of having a group of 2,000 people if really only 5 people are active in there, or, you know, will really resonate with what you're offering? The other big thing that I found success is collaborating and setting the tone in the group that we are all there to lift each other up. Through social media, I've just found so many times it seems like women are just clawing their way up to the top, stepping on each other to get up to the top, where actually if we work together, we're so much stronger together, and we all have unique gifts to offer to the world. There's enough to go around. And if we can just support each other, we're going to get so much back in return. And that's what I found, because I've got 9 other goddess leaders that have stepped up now and are helping me to lead the group. And they all have different, you know, they all come from different areas, crystals, cooking, Akashic records, shamanic journeying, whatever it might be, Kundalini yoga, restorative yoga. And so then people that resonate with them, then they can kind of go with them, like, oh, I really resonate with Tammy. I really want to focus on restorative yoga now, or I really resonate with her. So as we bring our communities into the group, we're not like biting our nails thinking, oh my gosh, I hope that, you know, all the people I bring in don't like her better than me, because we want all of our clients in there, all of our community to be with the people, the teachers that they should be with now, and whoever they'll learn from the most now.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I think, you know, since starting my online community, I definitely admire, you know, people like yourself who manage these much bigger communities, because there's so much happening all the time. And I think that you definitely do need to create a space. And it sounds kind of weird because it's online and it's on Facebook, but I think just like you create kind of like this energy and this atmosphere in your yoga class, I think you can do that in your online community as well.
Oh yeah.
And it only takes like one or two people to really like throw that off with like a negative comment or something that's not really appropriate for the group and that sort of thing. And that's really what I'm trying to manage right now as somebody who's new to this.
Just block them. I mean, I just don't really have any patience for any of that stuff anymore. I just block them. Because I've been doing it, and I think really what helped strengthen that muscle is Periscope, because on Periscope, you don't really know anybody. So people are very anonymous. So whenever I started going, doing that, that's pretty much what sparked, my midlife crisis, I would say, because people would get on there and say, how old are you? Oh, you look a lot older than that, or you're fat, or just like the meanest possible stuff you could think of. That's what they'd be saying. And so you kind of strengthen that muscle. It's just like, you know what? Delete you, delete you, delete you. And you don't even say anything back. You just block them and just get them out of there. It's the same thing if you're on your personal page and you keep seeing somebody's post that makes you feel bad, block them. Mm-hmm. Just delete them. You don't need to be friends with them. There's no point. If it makes you feel bad, get it out of there. And that's, again, with leaning into what feels good.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good thing to, you know, just to have in your personal life, in your business. And it's definitely something I'm, you know, consistently trying to work on. I think that I, you know, growing up and into my adult life, like I'm tend towards people pleasing. So it's like, I don't want to hurt anyone's mm-hmm. feelings. I want to believe that there's like good in them and that, you know, maybe their intention wasn't bad. But I think it's always just coming back to like, how does that make me feel? Is it moving me forward in my life? Is it moving my mm-hmm. business forward? And
because you don't have time to think about all that. You don't have time to think about every single person. Well, is their intention good? Or, you know, and as you get more and more busy with clients and everything, you're not going to have time to mess around with that. That's why I'm just like, just getting that habit now.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually put in like a no bullshit policy too with my interviews. Like I get a lot of people who are like, I want to come on your podcast, and then their communication's really poor or they don't show up. And like, if you no-show me on an interview for anything that's not an emergency, because I want to be understanding, like things happen.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're all connected. Like, you know, send a message, but it's like, if you no-show me or you don't respond, like you don't mm-hmm. get to come on. Like I am not interviewing you.
Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But you know, when I started like 2 years ago, I was very much like, you know, no, it's okay. Like they probably didn't mean to. And I'm like, no, these people are taking advantage of you. Like you need to stand your ground.
Exactly. Yes. Well, good for you.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning. And so for anyone out there who's listening, if you're like, oh, I really struggle with that, I'm with you. And it's a constant work in progress. And so I know that one of the things you do is that you work with, you know, yoga teachers and women one-on-one in your business. I'm curious, you know, when somebody comes and they're talking with you and they're working with you one-on-one, what are some of the biggest, you know, tips you provide for maybe yoga teachers specifically about how to grow themselves as a teacher, how to grow their business and that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, as a teacher, that's a totally different topic. And I, you know, I'm happy to work with people kind of on a, in a one-on-one coaching program. If they didn't feel like they got enough from their teacher training, I'm happy to do that. But that's not really what I focus on, you know, online, like in my business. Really what I focus on is doing the business aspect of it. And for them to grow their business online, what most things boil down to, because I create polls all the time and ask my group all the time about their struggles, and what all of their struggles boil down to is not knowing who their target market is. Over and over and over. It's like, well, if you don't know what course to offer, you don't know who your target market is. If you don't know, you know, what your next step is or how to create content or whatever, you don't know who your target market is.
Right. That definitely makes sense. And so what are some of the things that you know, if I'm like, oh, I don't know who my target market is, like mm-hmm. how do I go about like finding those people and deciding who I want to target?
Sure. Well, what I do is I have everybody write out their story and then I have them look back in their story and think about a, a past version of themselves that they would really, really like to help. You know, in my story, there's addiction, there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff in my past, but I don't necessarily really want to work with people about around addictions. So it's kind of like you write out your story and you just pick out the different parts, like the different past versions of you that you'd really like to help. So a past version of me is someone who doesn't know exactly what their purpose is. Somebody who knows what their purpose is, but now they have no idea how to get started in the online, space. And so that's really how I try to find the target market, is just by looking at a previous version of you. And a lot of times people say, well, yeah, but I don't feel like I've got everything figured out. You don't have to have everything figured out. You just need to be 5-10 steps ahead of these people, because if you're 100 steps ahead of them, you're going to look perfect. You're going to look like your life is unattainable. So you need to be real and, you know, be like, hey, I don't have all this figured out. And that also takes a lot of the pressure off of you. I mean, I always say I don't have everything figured out, but I can help you to get from point A to point B. You know, these are the tools I've learned and I've used to help make life easier along the way. So let me teach those to you.
Yeah, I love that. I think I actually posted on Instagram. It was a couple months ago now that I was just reflecting on, you know, I'm 28, turning 29 early next year. And I was thinking about, you know, like my high school version of myself. And I feel like when I was 18 or, you know, 17, I just felt like, you know, 28 turning 29 was so old. Like those people must just have life figured out. And I was having this moment where I was like, I don't have anything figured out.
No, and then I realized I didn't have anything figured out either.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, obviously we figure out more things. It's almost like we're walking through a maze, like unlocking doors, and, you know, we're learning and growing constantly. But I feel like I'm never going to have all the answers. I think that's what I've just come to.
Yeah. Well, of course. And once you realize that, then you're exactly where you should be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's actually really freeing too.
Yeah.
Especially as like more of the type A perfectionist, you know, type mindset. It's like, okay, it's okay. You don't have to have it all figured out. Like you can just.
Exactly. And that does help to give you more confidence, I think, to step into the role of coach or yoga teacher. It's like, you know, people are like, well, I'm really scared that people are going to ask me this question. Well, you can say, you know what? That's a really good question. Let me ask my teacher. Let me do some research on it this week and I'll get back to you on that next week. Like you don't have to make up some bullshit answer just because you feel like you should know the answer, because that puts way too much pressure on you to think that you need to know everything. You know, and I have coaches myself. So maybe if a business client of mine would ask me, I'd say that exact same thing. Well, you know what? That's a really good question. Let me make sure that I can get you a really good answer. I'm going to talk to my coach about that, because it's also important that they know that you're investing in yourself. You know, a lot of times people might be scared to invest in a coach or whatever. And you know what? The minute I invest in something that's a little bit out of my comfort zone, immediately the universe rewards me with, you know, more clients or something that's kind of like, okay, good job, Crystal. Here you go. So yeah, I don't know how I got on that subject.
No, it's a good subject though. It's, when I started working remotely and working more for myself, my boyfriend was going through, an apprenticeship program at the time where he had this, one-on-one support every single week. And I was like, that seems like it's benefiting him a lot. Like I want that too. And so I went out and hired a business coach. And, shortly thereafter, I started working for a company where I started, coaching young people who are moving through, you know, kind of their first career type jobs. And I was like, okay, so I'm coaching these young people. I have somebody who's coaching me, and my business coach has a coach. And I was like, I think we all just need to have coaches. It's like somebody who is not like your mom, because your mom's always going to, you know, want the best out of you and tell you your ideas are great. Like somebody who can be honest and not attached to your ideas and hold you accountable to stuff.
Yeah. And somebody that's been there can say, you know what? That sounds great. This is what's worked for me. You know, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the accountability that's the main thing, I would say. Like,
oh,
listen,
sure. You
need to get these things done by next week, you know, and because otherwise you can really find everything that you need to know is on the internet. It really is. But to have that personal connection with somebody or even a group coaching program, something where every week or however often you have to report back, it's going to make you work a lot harder. And especially if you invest a little bit more money that's out of your comfort zone, that's going to make you work so much harder.
Yeah, I could not agree with that more. I feel like it's totally different when I set myself a deadline versus if my coach is like, okay, let's set this deadline together and like, I'm going to send you a message or hop on a call with you. It's like way easier for me to like trick myself and be like, well, you were tired or you were working on other stuff.
Right.
And he's like, cut the bullshit. Like, you didn't do it.
Exactly.
Amazing. Is there anything else that you want to share with listeners today about anything that you do? Any tips for starting your online business, running an online community, anything like that?
I think I've shared most of my valuable nuggets, but I mean, the main thing that I really want to help women do and what my calling is to step away from that masculine energy, that energy that we think that we need to use to get it all done. Because really something I'm really learning, and it's something that's so hard for women to get, really for anybody to get, but I work with women. So is that it's actually 10% action and 90% getting into alignment. And it's really hard for people to believe that. But the more that I spend on doing things that put me in that place where I want to be, whether that's a vinyasa practice or singing and dancing with my daughter really stupid in the living room or, you know, whatever it is, whenever I do more of those things, that's when I see massive growth in my business. And I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. And so I really want to help women to get more into that mindset.
That's amazing. And so if people want to, you know, learn more about you, maybe work with you one-on-one, where can they go to find that?
Sure. Well, they can go to yogagoddessacademy.com and they should be able to find all the information on there. They can also email me at crystalgrayyoga@gmail.com.
Okay. Amazing. And I'll put a link for your private online community in the show notes, but people can just search Yoga Goddess Collective to find that online.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today, Crystal. It's been really, really awesome getting to chat with you.
Thank you. It was really fun.
All right. I hope that everyone enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Crystal is so awesome and I really, really enjoyed talking with her. And since then, we've got to know each other a little bit more through one-on-one calls. And it's been so awesome just being able to support one another in, you know, our goals with our businesses. So as Crystal mentioned, you can find her at yogagoddessacademy.com. If you are interested in her upcoming online yoga teacher training, you can go to yogagoddessacademy.com/online-yoga-teacher-training/. And if that's way too much to remember as you're driving in your car or out for a workout or out for a walk, I will definitely have a link in the show notes at www.mbomyoga.com. As always, you can find me on social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga. You can join the private Facebook community at Yoga Business Badasses. And don't forget that Elevate Your Yoga Biz, Kelly Smith and I's upcoming yoga business retreat is on sale for 15% for one final day. Head on over to bit.ly/elevateyouryoga and use code ADCENTURE to get that deal. And that'll also be on the show notes, so you can go and find it there. As always, thanks so much for listening and namaste.